topic is happiness. Because each and every one who's alive yearns to be happy. Everybody tries to be happy. And Islam has got the treasures of happiness. The Islamic recipe for happiness is 6 points. One, to understand oneself. Two, to understand God. Three, to understand the world we're living in. Four, to understand the world we're going to move on to. And five, to understand stages of man development. And six, self-examination and the reconciliation and love of God. So this is the overall recipe. Today we will just touch base on the first point, which is knowledge of the self. Who are we? Who am I? Now we all know that human beings are made of a body and a soul. It's common knowledge. The body has got earthly nature and is limited, whereas the soul or the spirit is lofty and divine, and it's not bound by life on earth, because soul does not finish by the death of man. So the knowledge of self is the key to the knowledge of everything. And the knowledge of self is the key to the knowledge of God. He who knows himself well will know God. In the Quran, God tells us, سَنُرِيهِمْ آيَاتِنَا فِي الْآفَاقِ وَفِي أَنْفُسِهِمْ حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُ الْحَقِّ. God will show men his signs in the world and in themselves, that the truth be manifest to them. So what does real self-knowledge entail? If we want to understand ourselves, we need to answer four questions. What is man in himself and from where he has come? Where is he or she going? And for what purpose has he come to stay on earth for a while? And the question number four is, of what does his real happiness and misery consist? So the first step of man's knowledge is to know what he or she is made of. The human being consists of two parts: an outward shape, which is the body that we live in. And looking and studying at the outward shape, studying our body, can give us knowledge of God and God's attributes. For if we imagine that me and you and everybody has been created from a single drop, from a single cell, from a sperm and an ovum, and this has developed into this whole strong frame, this strong body, and think that this all is from God's power, this as an embodiment of God's name, Al-Qadir, the able, the strong. If we look at our intricate organs and how they function, how we see, if we look at the eye, if we look at the ear, look at our digestive system, our liver, how does our body function? Each function of our body is very complicated, and especially people who have studied physiology appreciate that more. If we look at these and contemplate, this is an embodiment of God's attribute, Al-Hakim, the wise, wisdom. However, if we look at the way we're being created, God did not just create us with the bodily functions that require us to stay alive. He's added bits of beauty, hair, different colors of hair, colors of eyes, colors of lips, touches of beauty. And this will give us a clue as to how much God really loves us and how he created us in this beautiful shape. So even looking at our outward shape, at our bodies, is a way to understanding ourselves and hence understanding God. However, what I'd like to concentrate on is understanding our inward entity. What's our inward entity? What are we really made of? We are made of a soul, a ruh, a nafs, which is a self, and a heart. And by the heart, we don't mean the pump, the fleshy pump that pumps in our chest, but it is the core of the human being. So each and every one of us has got a soul, a self or a nafs, and a heart. The soul is a blow from God. God tells us, فَنَفَخْنَا فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِنَا. We blew into him from our soul. It is a divine entity within each and every one of us. We don't know much about it, but we know how it functions. The second entity within us is a nafs, or the self. The self, or the nafs, is from earth. And it is the location of desire, lust, moods, and certain emotions. It has animal instincts, which have been created into a nafs for a purpose. Such instincts, such as anger or lust, for example. Anger and lust are very important for the human being. But by understanding why they are there and using them in the right direction, we direct them correctly. So anger is very important for self-protection. But if it's out of control, it takes an animal shape. So we need to understand ourselves and understand the properties of this nest. Lust, again, lust is very important for the continuation of creation, for the continuation of the mankind. However, again, if it's out of control, it can lead to wrong places. So it is a very useful thing within us. So all these animal instincts that exist within the nafs have been created because they are useful. And we need to learn how to understand them and how to channel them into correct channels. In the Quran, it says, إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةً بِالسُّوءِ إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي. That is, the nafs always directs people to the wrongdoings, except those who are blessed by God's mercy. And by God's mercy here, it means understanding, looking into the Quran, understanding what the nafs is, so that we can deal with it. The nafs, however, has got several levels. The lowest type of nafs is an-nafs al-ammara bis-su. That is, the nafs, the self, that pushes a person to sin and do wrong things. And this is inbuilt in each and every one of us. And that's why we all make mistakes. However, by learning to control it, and by watching it and understanding it, we can elevate to the higher stage, which is an-nafs al-lawwama. An-nafs al-lawwama is the self that blames a person for what he does. So we will all make mistakes. But the difference is, we can make a mistake, realize we made a mistake, and repent from the mistake. So if we train our nafs to become a nafs al-lawwama, it keeps an eye on us, it tells us when we've done wrong, we can elevate ourselves to the next stage. The higher stage, which, inshallah, we can hopefully all attain, although it's not easy, is an-nafs al-mutma'inna. An-nafs al-mutma'inna is a self that is at peace with itself. This is a nafs that has elevated to a much higher level, where it is continuously monitoring, continuously auditing what the person is doing, and not allowing the person to go into wrongdoings. And this is an-nafs al-mutma'inna. This is the peacefulness. This is the person who is at peace with himself. This is the person who is in happiness. And this is the person who is described in other religions or in other philosophies as a person who has attained enlightenment. Now, all these types of nafs are present in the Quran. We haven't got time to tell you all the ayat, but what I'm telling you is this is not empty philosophy. These are all things that are present in the Quran. The Quran does mention nafs al-ammara bis-su. It does mention nafs al-lawama. As a matter of fact, God says, لا أقسم بالنفس اللوامة, showing how important it is. And then in nafs al-mutmainna. So we discussed the soul, we discussed the nafs, and now we need to understand the heart. Now the heart, as I said, is the core. It is not the flesh that's beating inside our chest. Just to give you a simple insight, try to close your eyes and forget everything around you except your individuality. This will give you a glimpse to understand the nature of individuality. An exact philosophical knowledge of the heart is not necessarily a preliminary for striving in the path of God, but comes as the result of self-discipline and perseverance in the ways of God. The proof for that is in the Quran, where it says, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Those who struggle themselves for God's sake, we would surely guide them to us, they having been righteous, and Allah loves the righteous. Now, to understand how these three entities function together, to understand the anatomy and the physiology of the unseen human being, let's imagine that you have got a container that has got two doors. One door to the top, opening to the top, and one door opening to the bottom. And these are like one-way valves. This container, or this box, is the heart. The heart has got a door opening up to the upwards, which is the soul, where all divine and pure things are located, and life is located. To the bottom door opens up onto the nafs, or the self, where all the desires, lust, forgetfulness, and sins are located. Now, if we allow sins to accumulate and race from the bottom chamber to the middle chamber, the heart will be full of these things. There's going to be no space in it to receive the light from the divine. Vice versa, if we allow the heart to be free from hawa-nafs, from the lusts of the nafs, it will be there ready to receive the divine light from God. Again, this is not empty philosophy. This has its proof in the hadith and in the sunnah. The hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, إِذَا أَذْنَبَ الْعَبْدَ ذَنْبًا نُكِتَ فِي قَلْبِهِ نُكْتَةٌ سَوْدًا فَإِذَا أَذْنَبَ ذَنْبًا آخَرٌ نُكِتَ فِي قَلْبِهِ نُكْتَةٌ سَوْدًا حتى يسود القلب كله وذلك هو الران. ثم تلا قوله تعالى كلا بل ران على قلوبهم ما كانوا يكسبون كلا إنهم عن ربهم يومئذ لمحجوبون. سورة المطففين. The hadith says that when a person commits a sin or a wrongdoing, a black dot is drawn on his heart. Then he commits a second sin, and another dot, and a third, and a fourth, until the whole heart is covered in blackness. And this is what he called, described as the Quran. And in the Quran, it says, nay, but in their hearts, on their hearts is the Quran, which is covered in sins and evil deeds, which they used to earn. Nay, surely they will be veiled from seeing the Lord on that day. So how do we deal with that? How do we stop our hearts from being full of black dots to the extent that it becomes covered in ran and becomes darkened completely? All of us will do wrong things. All of us are sinners. That's how we've been created. That's the earthly part of us. But Islam teaches us that al-hasanat yuthibna al-sayyat. Good deeds make do with bad deeds. Al-wudu yusqit al-dhunub. Performing ablution gets rid of your sins. Al-salat yusqit al-dhunub. Prayers get rid of sins. Ramadan ila Ramadan kaffara. Fasting Ramadan gets rid of your sins. Al-hajj ila al-hajj kaffara. Doing hajj and doing umrah gets rid of your sins. So, the clue, the key to that is continuously cleansing these black dots and not allowing them to accumulate by doing istighfar, by asking God for forgiveness, by acknowledging what wrong things we've done and asking God to forgive it, and then performing all the extra things to get hasanat, to get extra points, such as prayer, such as wudu, such as hajj, such as umrah. So this is the purpose of these things. They are not just rituals. And this is jihad. This is the real jihad. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam once came from a fight, and he said, "We have now returned from the minor jihad to the major jihad." And when they asked him, he said, "Fighting is a minor jihad. The major jihad is fighting the self, is being able to control the self, is being able to control the earthly bits in us to elevate ourselves to a higher level. By doing that, by performing jihad continuously, we can elevate ourselves and nafs from a nafs al-ammara bis-su, the nafs that always pushes its owner to do wrong, into a nafs al-lawama, the nafs that always blames oneself to try and correct and perform the correct deeds, into inshallah a nafs al-mutma'inna. So there's a continuous process of cleansing of the heart. If we do not understand what the heart is, if we do not understand how it functions, we can't cleanse it. If we do not understand the powers that act on the heart, it's very difficult to control it. In Surah Ash-Shu'ara, God tells us, إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهُ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. The best are those who go to God, face God, stand in front of God with a healthy heart. A healthy heart is a heart that's continuously cleansed. A heart that does not allow black dots to accumulate. A heart that does not allow uran to collect on it. The healthy heart is full of life. Thus, the body can be, just to make it closer to us, the body can be the kingdom. The soul is the king, and the different senses are the king's army. So reason is its minister, passion is its revenue collector, and anger is the police officer. All these things have to be kept in due subordination to the king, but not killed or expelled, as they have a function to perform. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد أفضل المرسلين. أما بعد, when a person dies, everything is seen in naked reality, and the world of God and the word of God is fulfilled. The Quran tells us to describe this moment when we die, the moment of death, the transformation from being a combination of the body and the soul into the soul only. لَقَدْ كُنْتَ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مِّنْ هَذَا فَكَشَفْنَا عَنْكَ غِطَاءَكَ فَبَصَرُكَ الْيَوْمَ حَدِيدٌ. You were heedless of this end. We have now removed the veil from your eyes, and so your sight today is piercing. Ali ibn Abi Talib says, النَّاسُ نِيَامُ فَإِذَا مَاتُ اسْتَيْقَظُوا. People are actually sleeping or in a trance, and when they die, they wake up. Both this ayah and this hadith of Ali ibn Abi Talib explains one thing, that there's a real truth beyond what we see. The real truth is there. We will all attain it, we will all see it at the moment of death. whether we're believers or unbelievers. But it can be seen, and it can be achieved here and now. This opening of a window in the heart towards the unseen takes place in conditions approaching those of prophetic inspirations. When intuitions spring up in the mind, not conveyed by a sense channel. The more a person purifies himself or herself from carnal passions and concentrates his mind on God by following the Quran and the Sunnah, the more conscious he or she will be of such intuitions. Those who are not conscious of them have no right to deny their existence. An iron can be polished to become a mirror, and the heart can be polished with discipline so it can be rendered receptive to such impressions. Some hearts are like a mirror contaminated with rust. And this is what the Quran describes as run. كَلَّا بَلْرَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. No, indeed, the hearts were rusted, contaminated by their bad deeds. So just to sum up, we need some practical aspects to take away from this. Now, a human brain is a brain in continuous activity. The human brain never stops functioning. It's always thinking. We can learn to control our brains. We can learn to control our brains to have positive thinking. If you fill your brain with positive thinking, it will kick out negative thoughts. If you don't do that, negative thoughts will creep into it. So we need to get into the habit of dhikr, remembrance of God, of ta'ammul, of contemplation, of tadabbur, of meditation. By filling our brains with these activities, we will get rid of negative thoughts and allow our brains to be continuously occupied with positive thoughts. And also, the second point is to use the faculties for what they have been created. Lust delights in accomplishing desire. Anger in accomplishing vengeance. The eye in seeing the beauty. And the ear in hearing harmonious sounds. God tells us in the Quran, وَمَنْ كَانَ فِي هَذِهِ أَعْمَى فَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ أَعْمَى وَأَضَلُّ سَبِيلًا. Whoever is blind in this world shall also be blind in the hereafter, and in more need of light to guide them. When they talk about blindness here, it's not talking about blindness of the eye, it's talking about blindness of the heart. It's not talking about blindness of the insight. The knowledge of oneself leads to attention to one's body, one's soul, one's heart, and the understanding of an-nafs allows it to transform from the lower grades to the peaceful self, an-nafs al-mutmainna. That's opening up the heart for divine inspirations leading to happiness. We'll have to end now because I think there are exams. We need to finish our prayers early. Just, we wish our fellow students who've got exams today the best of luck. Can I just remind them of a dua to say before they go into their exams? Say, Rabbi adkhilni mudkhala sidq wa akhrijni mukhraja sidq waj'alni min ladunka sultanan nasira, and inshallah God will be with them and help them. Allahumma aghfir lana dhunubana, Allahumma aghfir lana israfana fi amrina, Allahumma ihdina fi man hadayta wa afina fi man afayta wa tawallana fi man tawallayta wa barik Allahumma lana fi ma a'tayta. Allahumma اللهم ارحمنا بترك المعاصي أبدا ما أحييتنا، وارحمنا بترك ما لا يعنينا، وارزقنا حسن النظر فيما يرضيك عنا، وألزم قلوبنا حفظ كتابك كما علمتنا، واشرح به صدورنا، ونور به قلوبنا، وأطلق به ألسنتنا. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم